This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
The word trust is coming up a lot more than I expected.
Trusting yourself.
Yeah.
What if you're a bad person?
There's a thing called karma for that.
Dear Shandy.
Welcome back to Dear Shandy, listeners. Hello, Andy.
Hello.
How are you today?
I mean, I'm wearing a sweater.
I know. I wasn't sure if you were going to address it. Yeah. Andy never wears a sweater.
Should be addressed. I mean, I do have the V underneath.
Yeah.
But it is
it's
unbearably cold.
Yeah, I was supposed to wear a t-shirt and now I have a fleece on. It's just cold. It's freezing out and it's drafty. And for some reason, our heating is just not keeping up with the day.
No, so, it is not.
But I feel like, I don't know, that's keeping us on our toes for today's hot topic. Mm-hmm. Do you like my segue?
Very nice.
Aren't I such a professional?
You really are. You're good.
So today we're doing something a little different. I think some of our Shandys might be like, what's going on? Like, this is different for you guys. But I thought it would be a fun way to start 2024, to get out of our heads a bit and maybe into, I don't know, our bodies, into something else. Maybe something a little more spiritual. Because typically when we address topics of the mind, we'll bring on, you know, an expert therapist in that and, you know, a family marriage licensed therapist in that, blah, 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 to unpack it from a very intellectual and like analyzed way. And I don't know, I just woke up one morning here in January in 2024, this will come out in February, and I was like, I want to get a little more woo-woo.
Yeah, this is what happened. She said that.
I just felt like it was time. I'm not actually that woo-woo person. You definitely are not at all. But I just felt like, you know, we can analyze things to death, but if there comes a point where we're going around in circles, maybe it's time to sort of expand. Why not, right? So we have an interesting guest today. I'm very excited that she was able to join us. She is an acclaimed channel, psychic medium, writer, and author of her best-selling book, You Are Intuitive, Trust Your Truth, Take Back Your Power. Goop, yes, Goop, has called her intuitive work one of the best online destinations for developing your intuition. And her first podcast, So You Think You're Intuitive, was one of the top spiritual podcasts across North America with over 1.3 million downloads. And her brand new podcast, Things That Die, seeks to break the taboo around death and the endings we face in our lives. I quite enjoyed that. The endings we face in our lives. I think our Shandys will enjoy talking, or will enjoy hearing us talk to you today. Natalie Miles, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having me. I'm excited to push you out of your wheelhouse today.
Yeah, it's definitely a little outside.
A wheelhouse?
Yeah, exactly. A little outside our comfort zone. But, you know, I feel like the older I get, the more open-minded I become. And I think whatever works for whomever, you know, who am I to be like, well, that doesn't exist. That doesn't work for you. I mean, to be honest, I tend to find that the people who are the most in touch with all that, the ether, tend to be the most grounded and maybe, I don't know, clear-headed. They might have the most clarity. So I think we all have something to learn from each other. So Natalie, thank you for taking a chance on Dear Shandy today.
Oh, it's awesome. I'm excited to see what questions you have for me and where this conversation goes.
Okay, so before we get started, I do have a disclaimer because this conversation is meant to be more conversational and anecdotal. It's not intended to substitute professional mental health counseling, diagnosis, treatment, et cetera, et cetera. I hope I don't need to say that, but, you know, just in case.
Well done.
Yeah. All right, Natalie. In your book, we're going to start at the very beginning. You refer to an infinity symbol. And you say that it is the mystical higher power energy we are working with when we connect to our intuition. And then I love how that little infinity symbol is just throughout the book. It doesn't even have letters associated with it. Can you attempt to describe what this infinity symbol is and what the connection feels like?
Yeah. When I was writing the book, it felt really wrong for me to put the word in to describe what you may call universe, spirit, God, the other side, your inner knowing, your intuition. It just felt like everyone has a way of describing something that they know that might be bigger than themselves. And it felt wrong for me to put my word on it. So I put the infinity symbol throughout the book so that it was, so it made it more relatable for people to put in their word. So for me, I mean, I use the word spirit or universe, but it, for me, this higher power is this energy of walking through life, knowing that you're held and supported and guided by something that is, outside of us, but also is us as well at the same time. So, yeah, it's this fine balance of looking at that and really knowing that you're intuitive, like your whole body is intuitive. You saying about people being grounded and being more in their body, it is not just outside of us, but it is us as well. So yeah, that's why I put the infinity symbol throughout the book, because I wanted people to feel that they could choose.
Hmm. I'm already going off my notes here, but when you said you are intuitive, do you think that anyone is?
100%. Yeah, 100%. I feel that we're born on this planet. We come in as kids are really intuitive. Like children just, they get things, they know things. And then we're kind of deconditioned as we get older, not to listen to ourselves, listen to our intuition. We don't express ourselves in the ways that we do as kids, because we're told it's wrong, or we're told that we shouldn't communicate like that, or we shouldn't, you know, speak that inner truth that we have. And kids are just really dialed in with their intuition. But we're all intuitive. We can all connect, and it's interesting right now because a lot of people are returning to connecting to their own intuition or looking at what that means for them.
What are the similarities between instinct and intuition?
It's interesting. I know some psychics use it interchangeably. Sometimes people say it's an instinct that you have. For me, I think intuition takes instinct one step further, where you tuning into what feels right, what feels wrong, but you're also receiving specific guidance or insights on career, on relationships, on what's happening around you. I think that instinct that you have walking through life of, you look left, you look right, and then something goes, oh, actually, you should look left again because, you know, there's a car coming. That's part instinct. But it's also you walking into a room and being like, oh, I really don't like that person in the corner. I don't really like their energy. I don't really want to be around them. That's instinct, but also those intuitive feelings that you get around certain situations and people.
Yeah. We're watching this Chimp Empire show on Netflix, which is great.
Highly recommend.
Oh, cool.
Great stuff. If you like chimps, or even if you don't like chimps, it's good. Yeah. Good chimp watching. Anyway, it's just amazing to watch these animals that are highly intelligent and have very tight-knit social communities with all different jobs and duties and interpersonal relationships. And it really is almost all instinct. Mm. You know, like, yes, they're highly intelligent. They have real, you know, a lot of bandwidth to work with in their brain, but it's really everything they're doing, from the smells to knowing there's enemies nearby to knowing who to mate with to knowing who's the alpha and what they're doing that day. It's all instinct. And it's just so interesting to think what you said about a baby. Like a baby is born, a human baby, as an animal. Yeah. And they're born with innate instincts, you know, from millions and millions and millions of years ago, if not billions of years ago. And it's so interesting what you said about how that's all deconstructed and taken away by teachers like, no, that's not how you should think, or no, don't do that. That's wrong. But these instincts are right. Whether they work in the society that we've constructed or not is an interesting question. But every time I get a little closer to the woo, which I have, I've also...
You've gotten closer.
Yeah, I'm as woo-woo as I've ever been by far.
By far.
Which is not saying a lot, but it's a lot more than it used to be. But...
Hello. I'll touch on that in a bit.
It's like
a
wee. There's a story there.
It's a wee. I'm a wee-woo or a woo-wee. But I realized that, you know, sometimes I just stop and think like nothing makes sense. You know, none of this construct that we have in society makes any sense. If you really stop and think, sometimes, you know, hallucinogens could help with that. But even without, I just look around like as the older I get, I'm like, none of this is adding up. This is craziness, what's going on with humans. Mm-hmm. And if you strip all of that away, all the stuff you've learned and all the stuff you do every day, you do your work, you make your money, you have these weird social media things and you watch the TVs. And if you strip all that away, you think maybe we don't know anything. Maybe we've taken all our real knowledge away and we're now living in this pure, you know, what do they call it? Not AI.
I know what you mean. It's sort of like what we're told to live. It's like we're all like living, like we're just acting out our lives based on what we've been told to be, based on maybe our natural talents or whatever. But I feel like even talent is separate from instinct.
It's not even like, and then I think to myself, like, what do I do? Do I ever do anything on instinct anymore? Or do I ignore all my instincts? I'm like, do I say, no, that's instinct, bad. So it's very interesting the way you describe that. But I do believe that if there is a woo to be had, it's in that layer that we refuse to acknowledge that we are innate creatures of the earth. We were born out of literally the center of stars and from the earth. I mean, it's totally insane, but we are connected to matter and the universe directly, not in any woo-woo way. We are literally connected to stars. We are connected to the dust that's floating a million light years away. We are directly connected to that. You can make a case that cosmic rays have caused the mutations which have evolved us to humans. You can make all these cases. So
I'm more into this than I was expecting.
I'm going down very deep rabbit hole here. But what I'm saying is I am open to this. And I think there is something here. And I think it has to do with not searching for it, but actually taking away everything.
Yeah.
And then something will be there.
100%. It was really fascinating because during lockdowns in 2020, people found that they were actually more intuitive because they weren't having the distractions around them, because it was a lot quieter. They could notice what was happening around them, the symbols, the signs, the messages, the dreams that were coming through at that time. Because everything was quietened down, you could actually have the time to notice, because a lot of the time your intuition will come through certain themes that keep repeating themselves, conversations where words keep coming up, TV shows and movies that you keep watching, and it's the same theme and you're like, okay, better look at that. And I love the way you described around, you know, sometimes it is about stripping it all back into that sense of nothingness, because when you get to that point, you then begin to see what's important. So if when you were describing all of that, I just kept seeing it as it is like a construction where you realize, like, the people that cross your path in life, the conversations that you have. For me, I see it that it's all for a reason. Like the people that I meet, the people that cross my path every single day, there's that energy exchange between people that you're like, what am I teaching them and what are they teaching me, and what's this exchange here for? Because it's for a reason, otherwise it wouldn't have happened. And that's how I walk through my life. And I've just, it gives me a sense of purpose that I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be. but it also gives me a sense of an awareness and noticing that then increases my intuition around me. So yeah, and I love the way you described that we're from stars and dust. I was like, yeah, he's a bit more woo-woo than he realizes.
Yeah, I really do think Andy, like if we had to put a word to what Andy's infinity symbol is, I really do think it's nature. Mm. Like I've never seen anyone respond to and speak nature the way he does. And for what it's worth, I think he also can, I don't know, there's an aura something. And I truly am not typically this person. I'm looking in the camera, Shandy's, in case you think I'm that person. I really don't typically, I'm not that woo-woo typically, but Andy just has such a good read on people. He'll walk into a room and be like, that person, no. And he'll he'll be right. And it's incredible. And I don't know. I'm proud of you, even if you deny your woo.
No, it's also a life of observing. I've always been an observer.
Well, just to get to know you, Natalie, before we get going, talking about how we can maybe apply this to, you know, bettering ourselves, becoming our higher selves, or feeling more confidence in our choices. That was the main theme I wanted to talk to you about, because our Shandies, I relate to them. I think they relate to me in that we tend to be overthinkers. We struggle with analysis paralysis and sort of trying to logic our way through life. I'm sure you encounter this a lot. So I want to get to know you first. When I read your book, what struck me the most above all else was your own trust and conviction in your abilities. And it was so striking to me as someone who has struggled to have trust and conviction, even if, you know, from the outside, someone looking in might be like, how can you not have trust and conviction in those things? Like everything is clearly showing you that you should have those. So what I want to know is how you came to trust your own gifts, as you call them, especially considering, you know, when we talk about having intuitive gifts, that this is something that many people don't believe in, right? So it's even more amazing to me that you can have that kind of conviction. Like what, how do you have that? Like, give me some of that.
Yeah, I think it's really, once you know it's true, or once you've given messages to people, or for example, like you've made a decision in your life and you've made it where it feels like the biggest hell yes in your body. And then good things or even bad things happen off the back of that. But you know in your heart that you made that right decision based on that feeling. It then encourages you to keep making those decisions and choices based on the hell yes that of the feeling that's in your body, not necessarily asking your mind, but asking your heart. And so for me, it's interesting because I take action on my messages, and that has been the biggest trust thing for me, because with intuition, it is a lot of time people get the messages or the guidance, but they don't take the action on it. So for me, it's really been like, oh, I need to do that. I need to make that happen. So for example, I lived in the UK and then I visited Canada. I went to Vancouver in 2010 and was like, I want to live in this city. Like I feel this deep connection to being here. Like I feel like I'm supposed to be here.
You're not alone, by the way.
Andy and I were just looking
at it. We've also been to Vancouver, and every time we go, we're like, we should live here.
We've had this conversation about Vancouver so many times, but yes.
You may just have good taste in cities. Yeah. I don't know if it has anything more than that.
It's interesting that we've never acted on it. She's got a point.
Yeah. Okay. And so, but it's interesting because I was with a partner at the time when we were together, and we went together, and I was like, oh my God, let's do this. And he was like, oh, well, you know, we got got family back at home. I'm not sure if this is the right thing for me. It would be a long way away. And it was fascinating. The minute the relationship broke up, I was like, bing, Vancouver, I got to go. I got to make this happen. And it just felt really, really important. by listening to that intuitive hit of that Vancouver was important was massive, because I used to work in film. I used to work in film as a producer, director, and it led me to what I'm doing now. So for me, that city was, and that decision and that intuitive hit has led me to doing what I'm doing now and is part of that journey. And so I see that all those little decisions that you make along the way shape you into the opportunities that you have and the people that you get to meet along the way. And for me, it's again that trust that by me saying yes, or more importantly, also saying no, of like, oh, that doesn't feel right. That feels icky in my body. Again, it's really listening to how the body feels, not the mind, but how the body feels with it. And being like, do you know what? Everyone is telling me around me, yeah, do it. It'll be a great opportunity. Yeah, you should do that. But your whole body is like, oh God, like, no, this doesn't feel aligned. And I've just become pretty good at listening to that and trusting it. And that's why I felt like I wanted to write about it and share about it with others to inspire people to, you know, open themselves up to listening to their own intuitive bodies, because the mind is powerful. Like, the mind can tell you stuff and overthink, as you say, and you can put yourself into big freeze mode and never make mm-hmm. any changes or take any action mm-hmm. on anything.
Yes. And what's interesting, oh, sorry, you were about to say something.
No, I was going to say, are there people with bad intuition?
question.
What's fascinating is that sometimes people know that they have to make the change, but they don't make it. So they can spend years not taking action on the intuitive hit that they know they need to make, but they don't do it out of fear, or they don't do it because they don't want to end the relationship. They don't want to change the job. They don't want to move to the place that they know that would really bring them joy. So they kind of, that's the biggest thing I see with clients, is that they know intuitively what they really want to do, but they don't feel confident in taking the action to right. make it happen.
But the thesis is that everyone's born with good intuition, but some people have bad intuition because they don't listen to their
100%.
Intuition.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, it sounds sort of like the fear infects it.
Right.
Or at least covers it up. And that will bring me, I mean, I'm going to get right to it. There was a single biggest question. We always poll our listeners. We call them our Shandies before we have on a hot topic guest like yourself. And we ask them questions. Okay. And I could not believe how many people asked about intuition versus fear and or anxiety, anxious thoughts. What's the difference? How do I know the difference? Like, if you are someone who does have anxious thoughts on repeat, I can imagine how that could start to feel like your intuition because you are listening to it so often. 100%. What would you tell those people?
The easiest way to distinguish between your intuition and fear, anxiety, is the intuitive message will come in, it will give you the guidance, and then it leaves. It leaves. So it comes in into your mind, gives you the insight, the guidance, the thought that comes in. It will probably sound like you in your head, or it'll be a feeling, and then it will leave. Anxiety will come in and it will make you go round and round and round and round and round and round in your head. But the intuitive message will come in and it will feel like guidance. It will feel like someone is giving you like a held warm hug. It will feel like it comes in with a purpose and a mission to have to share what it wants to share with you, and then it will leave the body. The anxiety can sometimes feel like, I don't know, like a sergeant barking orders at you. Your body will be feeling like it's racing. Your heart might be feeling like it's racing. So that's the biggest way that I describe the difference between intuition and anxiety. Sometimes then people say to me, well, what happens then if I get the intuitive message and then I get anxiety after? What if I feel like I've got anxiety after it? And I'm like, well, sometimes when you get the intuitive message that comes in, sometimes it can feel so overwhelming of the information that you've just received. It then brings up the anxious thoughts, it's you deciphering and looking at and being like, well, was I anxious before I received this message? What was happening in my life? Was I reading the news? Was I on social media? Had someone just said something to me? That's how I like to decode between the two.
Also, just hearing you say that and just thinking of my own hell yeses and hell nos and subsequent anxiety I would feel after what, you know, like you said, felt like a warm hug and then the drill sergeant. Yeah. When I think to those moments, to that voice, it does tend to involve a significant amount of change.
Yeah.
If I think about it, it was only while you were speaking that I was like, oh goodness, because I do feel like the anxiety, the fear tends to live in a place of not wanting change, of telling you why it is too difficult, it is too extreme.
Yeah.
Why it's not the right time. And I mean, for all you know, that voice might never think it's the right time.
Yeah, 100%. And that's why when the intuitive message can come in and it feels so big, and that resistance to the change and then the overthinking that then happens that then puts you into the freeze mode or the flight mode where you're like, I'm out of here. Like, what am I doing? Like, this isn't what I want. And the biggest thing that I find is, which I'm recently been calling permission to live, is that the biggest block that we have is this fear of the permission to live that we have off these intuitive hits, because the intuitive message can sometimes start quite small. And I then describe it like you get those little nudges, like, are you going to change this? Is this really what you want in that relationship? Is that really what you get those little pings along the way until the big life boulder comes in and is like, right, like, you know, we've been giving you these like intuitive nudges for the last little while, and now it's time to really, you know, you're not listening, so we're going to have to bring in the loss of job, the health problem, the big life-changing move, because
the panic attack
yeah. Mm-hmm. And when that does happen, it is about, you know, what helps you to regulate your central nervous system so that you can bring yourself back into a state of ease or settling yourself down so that you can then be in the state of receiving the right message. There are so many people that only look for intuitive guidance when they're feeling anxious about something. So when they really want to know the answer on something is when you start to go look for it. And Matt, there's so many people who have, you know, card decks, like Oracle card decks, or they're, you know, a special card deck that they like to pull, and they go and they'll pull cards, but they'll only pull cards when they're anxious about something. They want to receive a message on something, and then they get the card that they want that's come out, and then they read it and they're like, oh, I'll put it back in and I'll pull another card just to see if, you know, maybe I'll get a different answer that time. And it's interesting how the, this desire, this need can also have a real impact on the intuitive message that you're receiving, when you're like, oh, am I making this up? Is this because I'm anxious or overthinking it?
So the natural follow-up question to that is then, do you think it's, if you do feel yourself sort of going on loop, looking for a message and feeling like you're in that state of anxiety, that it is best to sort of
stop,
back away into the, yeah, stop. Okay. So take a breather, not necessarily focus on that, looking for that message over and over again in that state.
Get into nature, go and do something, go move your body. You know, sometimes the intuitive message comes, from, you know, I find in nature, like Andy has said, is that, you know, nature is a really powerful tool to be, to receive. So if you're someone that is getting in your head, but you want to receive the intuitive message, go move your body, go listen to the music, go out in nature. It really changes and you'll be able to receive in a completely different way.
So let's say someone is working to trust their own intuition, but negative outcomes, you know, a lot of us have had negative outcomes, right? A lot of us have had bad experiences. And so there's, I think, a difference between being realistic. You know, some people want to prepare themselves for the worst or just try, they don't want to live in, you know, the proverbial clouds. What would you tell those people? Because I do think there is some degree of having to let go of that, but it's hard because a lot of us think that we are mentally preparing ourselves and we'll be better off if we expect the worst or at least expect something par.
I find that in with client sessions and group sessions, there is this, a lot of the time, this making do energy versus really going for what you really want. Again, whether it's in relationships or careers, people kind of limit themselves in that. And I think there's a fear of messing it up, like getting it wrong, getting the wrong intuitive message and then taking action on it. That's one of the biggest questions that I get is, how do I know whether what I've received is right or wrong? Or, the outcome of what I thought was going to happen off the back of me taking action on my message wasn't what I expected. So does that mean that the intuitive message I received was wrong? And in relationship, that sometimes comes through as, oh, I got the intuitive hit to date this person, or I got this intuitive hit to break up with this person, or I'm dating this person, it's gone wrong and I'm not with them anymore. Does that mean that I shouldn't have been dating them and I made the wrong decision off my intuition? What's fascinating is it's not about the outcome of receiving the intuitive guidance. It's about, I hate to say it, but it's about the learning of, you know, it's taking the action on the messages that you get so that you can have the learning experience that you need to grow, expand, to get you back to, you know, your whole self or the self that lights you up. And in the end, I see this human experience as a big learning of, you know, all the things we're supposed to come here and learn as human beings. And part of that is making mistakes and knowing that making mistakes is part of, moving through life.
Isn't it interesting how I think if you look back over our ups and downs or even our more challenging moments, I think anyone, I'm looking at Andy saying us, but I really think anyone could relate to this. You always look back and are like, oh, but I learned so much from it. And actually the decisions I then made were based on what I learned. And that got me closer to what I actually want in life. And I wouldn't have known that had I not learned what I didn't want based on that lesson.
It's always the comfort zone, I find.
Yes.
Anything that knocks you out of your comfort zone, because we don't like to leave our comfort zone.
No.
Anything that knocks you out forces you to make choices.
It's just so interesting how often that intuitive voice, 99.9% of the time, what it's telling you is something outside of your comfort zone.
Yeah.
And I think that's a complete misconception that your intuition is going to make your life better. I think sometimes your intuition makes it, as you say, it makes life uncomfortable so you get to the truest version of yourself.
Ooh. Okay. So this is a quote from Ashandi, quote question. How do you find your intuition and gut feelings underneath the layers of hope and goals of what you want to happen?
Yeah.
When I read that question, what kind of occurred to me was, are those hopes and goals even a part of intuition? Are they sort of intertwined?
Yeah.
Are those some things you have to get out of the way to get to the intuition, or are they almost one and the same?
Yeah, I think it's that connection of, is there a connection between intuition and manifesting? So if you're manifesting, you know, what you desire in life, can your intuition support you in what you're manifesting in? connecting intuition and manifesting together, it's important to have a vision. Like, I am a really big fan of having a vision of what you desire, but there's a balance between having the vision that you want to create in your life, but being so fixed on how you think it's going to show up and being really rigid. Intuition and manifestation there's a flexibility to it, and it requires you not to be gripping too hard, like gripping the wheel of where you want the car to go or the direction of your life to go. So you can create the vision for what you want in your life, but you have to surrender it up. Like, you have to let it go at the same time. So it's this balance of putting out there and receiving what you want, but not controlling outcomes at the same time. Because when you control the outcome, 9 times out of 10, you're limiting what you can actually receive, because sometimes what you're calling in is bigger than your wildest dreams anyway. Like, be open to be surprised by the universe and the world around you, life can take you in lots of unexpected places, which is pretty cool.
I do feel like what you just said could also be applied to analysis paralysis, because I know I fall victim to this sort of, you know, you make so many lists of pros and cons that you then make your choice. But how often does the choice you make actually result in the expectation that you had in your mind? Yeah. So it's like there comes a point where you do need to let it go. This is something I'm working on. This is my 2024 mission.
And pros and cons also being like, when you're writing, when you got the pro and the con and you receive it and you're like putting it into each column, instead of asking the mind which column it should belong in, do it the other way, where you actually ask the heart. So ask a different part of the body of which column it belongs in. So for example, you imagine the word that you're of the column that you're putting it in, and you wrap it in a golden light, and then you breathe it into your heart, and you'll be like, is this a pro? Is this a con? Nope, that's a con. I'm going to put that in that column. Or no, this feels like this. I'm going to put that in the pro column. So instead of, you know, using the mind, use your intuitive heart and the intuitive body, and it will get you a clearer pro and con list.
Ooh. Okay. So on that topic, asking the body, I say this as someone who is definitely more in my head than in my body 99% of the time. Do you have any exercises or tips for people who like the idea of wrapping something in gold light and breathing it into the heart, but have no idea how to do what you just described?
Yeah. So I would do, I would shut my eyes. I'd make sure I was somewhere quiet and though I couldn't be distracted. If you're someone that likes to wear noise cancelling headphones, do it. Or you like to go out in nature, even better. And then what I'll do is I'll make sure my feet are on the earth, so it's really ground, so I'm grounded, and that I feel connected to the earth beneath my feet. You keep your shoes on. Then what I will do is I'll just take a couple of really big deep breaths in and out and just really connect to my breath. And then what I'll do is I'll imagine or visualize the word in my mind's eye. So I imagine it like it, if I'm shutting my eyes, I imagine the word right in front of me. And then I'll just visualize, a golden light that kind of wraps around the word. And then what I'll do is I'll take another really big deep breath in and I'll breathe that word and that visualization of that golden light all the way into my heart, and I'll let it sit in my heart. And then you kind of feel into, does this feel like a hell yes? And a hell yes for me feels like a tingle all the way up my body. It will feel like a light bulb coming off. You might even get like a visualization of like a green light that's like, yes. And then trusting and knowing what your hell no feels like. So for me, the energy will just really dissipate and it will feel cold, and you'll just, the energy for me just like shuts off and I'm like, okay, yeah, that's a no. I know what a no is.
It sounds like a superpower.
Yeah, right. I want some of that.
Yeah, me too. But I do kind of know what you mean, and I have felt that here and there in my life, but I do think I have a tendency to wait to let it get to the point where it's boulder like, as you called it, where it cannot be ignored, or I am so unhappy with the place I am in, having made all of the quote unquote right decisions, and they've brought me to this place of such unhappiness. It's like, when am I going to learn? But maybe that's, and it's funny how then, you know, with something else in my life, I'll do it all over again. It's like, it's amazing how much we can think our way out of just listening to our gut when it comes to this. So speaking of which, you in the book discourage people from Googling the messages they may receive, or the ideas, the symbols, or even the dreams they may have. And I'm admitting that I have done this before.
You've Googled?
Oh, I've totally Googled teeth falling out dream meaning.
And then, like, when you did teeth, the first thing that shows up in Google is falling out dream meaning. Yeah. You're not alone.
I was, either Google knew me in a weird way, or yes, it had been Googled before. And I can see why you told people not to do that, because I found the result, like, sure, I could apply that meaning to my life in some abstract way, but I also wonder what conclusion I might have come to had I not Googled it. So how about explain your desire? You went out of your way to tell people not to seek, you know, an explanation, an interpretation outside of themselves.
Yeah, our ancestors have been, they've been connecting to their intuition for thousands of years. Did our ancestors have Google?
It's a great quote.
They took the time and the space to ask themselves, what does this mean to me? What does this mean to me? And so I encourage anyone who has a dream or gets an intuitive hit or gets this kind of niggly little feeling that they're uncertain about, but just ask yourself, what does it mean to me, before going to Google? Because Google is just going to give you the universal
one size fits all.
Yeah, one size fits all. This is the meaning for everybody. And sometimes that's great. It's great to have that, but you're missing the nuances of how your spirit team, how your guides, how the universe, how God is trying to communicate with you personally. And so give yourself the benefit of the doubt that you are capable of tuning in and asking yourself that simple question, what does this mean to me at this current time? What's happening in my life? What's going on? How does this symbol or this feeling or this word relate to what's happening with this current situation?
I guess they had the oracle back then, the town oracle. That was Google.
She liked that. Yeah, I always think of that, the seer from, was it Game of Thrones?
Yeah, the seer.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. I got to say, when they would go to the seer, I'm like, I want to go to the seer. Yeah.
But you can't Google like where to get the best bread in town. You got to wait for a big decision. So,
I would trust Google actually for the best bread.
Yeah, like, that would be
the highest rated five-star bread.
You can't trust Google anymore for bread.
No, I'm saying you can trust Google for bread.
Oh, you can?
I think so.
Really?
Although, you know, even that's subjective. No. Someone else's favorite bread.
Yeah, Google reviews.
It might not be your favorite bread.
Yeah.
Like when we went to that amazing Korean restaurant and I loved the bread and you were like, this isn't bread.
It was not bread. It wasn't bread.
And you'll smile because kings and queens and big business people today still go to their psychic medium to ask for advice. You know, it might not be spoken about, but they will go to their astrologer, they will go to their psychic medium and go and ask for guidance on what they need to know today and what's coming up for them in the future.
If anything, they more than common folk.
Well, they can afford it.
Yeah, exactly. They go to the best, the cream of the crop.
Well, so on the topic of dreams, and this is just me, this, I didn't write this down, I'm just curious, do you believe that our dreams have any connection to our intuition, our intuitive voice? Do you think they have meaning?
Yes. Oh my God. If there's so one thing I can encourage everyone to do is start a dream journal. Like if you can remember, if you're someone that remembers your dreams, even if it's just a random image or something or a feeling that you woke up left behind, you know, when you have the dream and you wake up in a certain like feeling or state, start writing them down and you'll begin to see themes and patterns of how things are communicating with you. Loved ones who have passed over love to come forward in dreams and give messages. I love it. I have loved ones that come through in my dreams, because sometimes people, you know, especially if you're someone that does overthink in a wake state, what will happen is because you're more relaxed and open while you're sleeping, you're in a more open state to receive the intuitive messages and guidance that want to come through for you. So if you're an overthinker, but you're a dreamer, begin to notice your dreams, because if they can't get to you when you're busy and overthinking, the dream state is really potent.
I was listening to someone talk about dreams the other day and how, you know, time is altered in your dream state. You know, sometimes you could be dreaming for what seems like hours and hours, and it's, you know, it's like Inception.
Yeah.
You know,
love that movie.
The usual comparison. But he was talking about how in dreams there's no future and no past. So you're forced into the present of whatever is happening. And it just was interesting to me, because if you strip out time, if you strip out our thoughts, our worries about the future and our, you know, our remorse or our ruminations about the past, you might be put in a much better decision-making or more instinctive or intuitive place. And that made me think that in dreams, maybe, you know, you can achieve some kind of intuitive decision-making in dreams because time has been basically eliminated.
Ooh. Yeah. Big time.
I like that.
I
do feel like for me, what stops me a lot in my waking life is the past and the future.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the fear of regret that I have felt in the past and the fear of change in the future, or even vice versa. It's just...
Well, that's the thing. What would you do right now if there was no future and no past?
Right? It's such a good point. Well, that brings me to my next question, which is bravery. The bravery to act on these messages. You talked about that. You said that you felt what you do possess is the ability to actually act on it. Like isn't it amazing? Like you wouldn't, that sounds quite regular. You know what I mean? It doesn't sound like you can like spread wings and start flying, but it does feel like so few of us are able to actually, I don't know, pull the trigger.
Mm-hmm.
What advice do you have for people? Like, what would you tell them to think of or to inspire that bravery in them?
Start small. Like, there's this pressure to start using your intuition on the, like, really big stuff. Like, oh, leaving a job, leaving a career, moving home, like, moving house, country. Start small. Like, one of the first things, two things, I started using my intuition to find car parking spaces. I know that sounds really, but like,
I love that.
Tell us more. Ask
it's
your
very
guides.
Practical.
So you're pulling into the place that you've got to, you know, that you've got to park your car. You know, it's going to be packed. You're like, oh God, do I go and park like five blocks away? Because I know that I might get a spot. When you're pulling up to the place, ask your guides and be like, can I have a car parking spot that's outside the front that I can easily drive in on? And just start seeing what happens, because I find that's a great way to start practicing listening, because so many times I've done this myself, and then I've seen a spot, you know, before where the entrance is, and my guides are like, do you not trust us? Do you not trust that there's going to be like a space? And then, you know, one person leaves and the car, you know, and then suddenly there's a space. So start small on your intuition, on you know, the car parking spot, the decision to go out that evening, the food that you want to eat that day, like listen to what your body wants intuitively food wise versus being like, oh, well, I said that was what I was going to eat. But your body's like, oh, really? I don't really want that. I think starting small with the intuitive messages that you're asking for is it builds up that trust muscle so that when you really want to ask the bigger questions, you have that confidence, because the more action you take on your intuitive guidance, the more intuitive messages you receive. Like it's a connection between the two. So yeah, I would, I'd start there.
I love how you word that, the muscle you build up, like that trust in that, because I have to admit my knee-jerk reaction to hearing that a parking spot opens up or that, you know, something happens in your favor, my knee-jerk is to say, well, it was a coincidence.
Yeah.
But what's interesting is that the only person I'm really hurting by thinking that way is myself, because all it does is causes me the next time around to start from square one all over again and not trust myself, not flex that muscle. Like I actually think our meeting story, Andy and I shared our very first episode of this podcast is our meeting story. And I remember when we shared our story, like we're so not believing in this stuff that I think actually our meeting story is a really good example of us each trusting our gut, trusting our intuition in spite of a lot of odds that were against us truly and still coming together. And it was such a transformative night because we really never would have met otherwise. You know, maybe you could believe that maybe we would have, but it was just very unlikely that we would have met. And while it's more my personality to write that off, it's just like, oh yeah, like it was so unlikely. It kind of gives me the willies. That's how I tend to feel about it. I could also choose to believe that something was calling me to go that night, just as Andy could choose to believe something was calling him to go that night. And I wonder if our lives would be different for the better, or if we would be different for the better, if ever since that night, almost 10 years ago, we chose to trust that instead of to write it off and to trust ourselves so little, in fact.
Yeah.
You made it a little easy. It's cheating.
What do you mean?
I mean, I knew right away. You like hit me over the head with a hammer.
What do you mean? Like what?
I knew you were the one right away.
No, I'm not saying that I didn't know you were the one. I'm saying that all the
steps
thing,
that led up
yes,
to that.
All the decisions we made that led to that, like it was pouring rain. There was no reason to go out. Both of our friends canceled on us. We didn't know anyone there. You know, there was all these reasons. It was in Tribeca. We live on the Upper West Side. Like what were we thinking? And it is so easy to just be like, yeah, what were we thinking and write it off. But
well, I'm a clairvoyant, so I know what I was thinking.
I'm convinced Andy's clairvoyant now, by the way. I don't know. In these last 10 years, I've just become so much more woo-woo. And a lot of people commented and they're like, how can you think that there was nothing working for you that night? And I think
yourself,
they're kind of right.
Let yourself believe.
Because by letting myself believe, I will trust myself more the next time I need to believe.
100%.
Right.
Because if you don't trust yourself,
what's wrong with that?
Yeah.
Because if you don't trust yourself with a car parking space,
well put. Okay, so I quickly want to touch on death and endings before we bring this this episode to an end.
That's a great place to end.
I could end on that high note, but yeah. I really want to touch quickly on the fact that your new podcast is called Things That Die.
Yeah.
And that your last podcast was a very successful podcast about intuition. And I just think it's so interesting that you basically killed that podcast to give birth to a podcast about endings, about death. I think that's just sort of
respect,
symbolic and brave and all the things. And I just want to hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I just found that through all of my one-on-one client sessions and group sessions, it was so loud that we don't honor the endings. and that we face so many different types of endings in our lives, not just physical death and leaving this planet, but so many endings through our day-to-day life that we don't know how to talk about. Talking about death is such a taboo topic. You know, it's something that we don't really want to go there and talk about. So it felt, I was intuitively felt really guided to open up that conversation and to get people onto the show to talk about their own death and endings that they faced in their lives, to inspire other people to think about what death and endings means for them. And it's been fascinating because people have been really vulnerable in what they've shared and have shared things that they probably wouldn't have shared in their own platforms and their own community. So yeah, it's been interesting. It's been, I've loved starting it because the death and the beginning is one and the same thing. Like it's all in the same breath. So when something dies, something begins. And so it's been a really interesting topic to go down and explore.
On that note, when something dies, something begins. Sorry, I'm not letting you go yet. Because a theme, we've had Dear Shandy for almost 3.5 years, and a theme, rather surprisingly, that's come up, but I, you know, maybe it's not surprising. You know, we do tend to attract a lot of overthinkers, people who struggle with making choices because it means the death of the choices they're not making. You know, mourning the death of the path not traveled, the life choice not lived, and therefore the life not lived. Do you have advice for those people to find some calm or confidence?
Yeah, if you're getting the intuitive hit to create an ending and step into something new in a beginning, trust that the past is finished and complete and that you can give yourself permission to walk away from it. And that whatever happened, you can still honor that in the now. And you don't need to know the future and where it's going and what that will look like. But the biggest thing that you can do is create the beginning in the present and trust that you're going to be held and supported in that. And know in your whole body that when you're getting that invitation in to have the ending, that's where the magic is. And even though it might not make any sense right now, trust what's coming down to you because of that ending that you're creating.
The word trust is coming up a lot more than I expected.
Yeah, trusting yourself.
Yeah.
What if you're a bad person?
There's a thing called karma for that.
Oh. So wait, should I not follow my intuition?
No. If you're making intuitive decisions for the highest, for what you see as the highest good for you and others around you, that's all you can do.
All right, Natalie. Anything that you want people listening to this episode to take away with them before we let you go?
If this feels like a really out there topic for you and you're intrigued and you want to know more, just keep exploring what that looks like for you. If you're someone that's listening to this and be like, oh, I want to know more, like trust that intuitive hit. If you've resonated with anything that we've been talking about, like, yeah, listen and take action on going to discover more about what your intuition might be calling towards. Mm.
Who knows? Maybe someone will hear this and be like, oh, wow, that's a sign that Dear Shandy of all podcasts did an episode about this.
That's it. It's always about us.
Oh, Natalie Miles, what a delight it was to have you. Thank you so very much
great.
For joining
Thank you so
us.
Much.
It's been awesome. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. I feel lighter after that conversation.
Me too.
And I'll admit, I was like a little nervous coming into it because I was like, I don't know how this is going to go. And you were just such a great sport. We love that you...
You know what?
What?
Can I say something?
What?
Based on what you were saying before about me, I knew right away when I saw her that it wasn't going to be that.
All right, Natalie, thank you so much and keep in touch. And I hope our paths will cross again one day.
Thanks, guys.
Take care.
Have a good one.
Bye.
Bye. Ooh, Andy. Did you really, when you first saw her?
Oh, I knew right away.
Really?
Yeah.
How?
I don't know.
You just knew.
I knew. Was I remember I came down. I was on a like an
Andy was on a work call that ended 5 minutes later than it was supposed
like a little
to.
Stressful.
And we had, it was stressful.
So I came in the worst, the most un-woo-woo place a human can be.
Yeah.
It was all like tense.
And I was
annoyed.
Chatting with her on Zoom before we got rolling.
And I was just and I remembered as I was walking down, I remembered, you know, who the caller was, and I was like, ooh, I hope it's, you know.
Not who the caller is, a guest. It's a Hot Topic
guest. I mean,
guest.
Sorry, the guest, correct.
Although maybe one day.
But she
it seems
calling.
Unlikely that she would ever call asking us
could.
For
you
advice.
You never know. It'll be under a pseudonym. But I was like, I hope she's, you know, like.
You hope she's cool. Well, because if I'm totally honest, you were resistant to this topic.
Well, it depends how you approach it.
Yes.
And some people, the way they approach it is it's not flexible.
Yes.
And in the wrong way.
Yeah.
And I don't want that.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't want that. And when I came down, I was like, I want it not to be that because I right now don't have the bandwidth to sort of fake it through that.
Uh-huh.
and as soon as I saw her, I was like, oh, we're good.
Oh, I love that.
I thought that like the way she looked or
no,
whether
it
was
her energy.
It was, there was a distinct intelligence I sensed.
Yeah.
But not that you aren't intelligent if you're the other way. I don't want to disparage. You know what I'm saying. Everyone knows what I'm saying. It's just a specific
cover
type
your bases,
of
Andy.
Everything's covered. Disclaimers. You got any more disclaimers?
Yeah, I mean, I was very proud of my disclaimer.
Your disclaimer
personally.
Was excellent. It seemed like you had read that like 100 times.
I mean, I put that together just because we really do typically have all these licensed therapists on to talk about, you know, when we talk about anxiety, anxious thoughts, fear, like life decisions, making those decisions. I just didn't want anyone thinking that this was anything but what it was. But I actually think, you know, like I said, as I get older, I just believe in it all a little bit more. And hopefully the Shandys are on this journey with me because I do think that there is a lot of power in the way we think, not only about the world, but about ourselves and the power we have over our own lives.
Absolutely. And I also believe that there are people who can see, who can read in the least woo-woo way. I mean, maybe everything's woo-woo. Then everything's woo-woo.
Yeah.
You know?
But
then
everything is a little woo-woo when you think. Like, I mean, sometimes I look at one of your plants growing and I'm like, what the hell?
Why don't you tell me that?
Oh, I tell you.
You never tell me that.
What?
I want to hear this.
I tell you all the time. Do I not tell you?
You tell me some things, but I want more enthusiasm.
Okay. I'll fawn over your plants more.
Thank you. Okay. We'll get to that later. But my point
that's how
is,
I feel about my outfits.
Like,
I'll put together a great outfit and you'll be like, you look nice.
Oh,
and I'll be
what?
Like, are you?
Can I stop and make note that this is an excellent outfit.
Oh, but this isn't, I didn't put any effort into this. This was just me being cold.
Yeah, but you got all sorts of things going there. It's checkered, it's black and white, then your stripes in the middle, and you got your hair up and the...
It's dirty.
You got black socks
I only
on.
I only need it when a lot of effort was put in, and you need to just intuit that.
Nice, full circle. Anyway, my point is that I do believe that some people can see, and some people can read, and I think some people are easier to read than others, obviously. I believe that all happens.
Yeah.
But, you know, when it comes down to us doing it on our own, that's very difficult.
Yeah.
And I also think sometimes people struggle with the philosophical element of it. Like, I have always struggled with whether or not there's free will.
Yes.
And that to this day, I'm really on the fence.
Yeah.
Like, I lean probably 1% in the direction of no. That everything from the beginning of the universe is predetermined down to the tiniest atomic movement, which is very upsetting, but also comforting because I can't do anything wrong.
Yeah.
It's all done for me already. Yeah. But it's also lazy. Mm-hmm. Like, I think the not lazy way of thinking, whether it's right or wrong, is that there is free will and that we can determine our future.
Yeah.
And I think that I've often let my philosophy guide my life. I'm like, well, whatever's going to happen is going to happen. So, you know, I'm just along for the ride.
Yeah.
But that's not a good way of thinking.
Well, then you're not living your life and you're also, you're not held accountable for not living your life. It's sort of like you're in this no man's land.
It's silly, but it is very possible that there is no free will. But who cares? Because we have to, at the very least, make believe and hope and leave that reservation that there is free will. You can't live. It's like, it's the same way as what we were talking about on a recent episode where you're like, oh, I'm not going to get this job. I know it. My interview is going to stink and my hair is going to be messed up and the person's going to hate me.
Are you talking about the negative
thinking?
Yeah.
And then you go to the interview and you don't get the job.
Yeah.
And you're like, see, I knew it. And so all you did was lose up to the interview and then lose at the interview. Yeah. Instead of being happy, using that positive energy to get the job instead.
100%.
You've lost everything. So why not just say, okay, I have free will and just live your life like that. Who cares if you're wrong?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
I got to say there's something to this just because I have witnessed it in my own life with, for example, auditioning. Like when we first met, you would hear me talk about auditions.
Yeah.
Like I hated auditions.
Oh, you hated them.
I dreaded auditions. I couldn't sleep before auditions. I lacked confidence. Like I could never perform in an audition the way I could on a stage. And thus most of the work I got was from performing, not from auditioning. And you know, people always tell you, like my mentors would tell me, everyone in the business tells you that you can't bring that energy into an audition because it infects it.
Yeah.
You emanate fear. You know, your pores reek of it.
Yes.
And it's not so much that you sound like a worse singer. It's just that people want to watch someone who's enjoying what they're doing when Absolutely. They're on a stage performing, singing, dancing, anything.
You
got to believe it.
You got to do the audition as if you're performing for, you know, 2,000 people at the Met.
Yeah. And you want to be there.
Yeah.
You want to be there. And it's incredible how that mindset shift has changed my auditioning and also my results. Like there was a time when I rarely got gigs out of auditions. Like I said, I would get it out of performances from connections. Oh yeah, she's great to work with. She's really good.
Yeah.
And then I would get hired. And now I'll do a cold audition where no one's heard me ever before. They don't know who I am. But afterwards they're like, who is she?
Right.
Like, isn't that incredible?
No, I have to say, you've done a lot of, 2023 was the year of work for you, self-work, and you've done an amazing job. It's so good that my laziness of self-work, it's like osmosis. Like, it's just like, it's secondary
smoke. Oh, no, you've been working self-work on yourself too. You have. All we right. both have. I am so glad I listened to my intuition and didn't let your poo-pooing over. I'm getting an I told you okay. so right
is
now.
This is an I told you so.
But
it was
a
light, it was very light poo-pooing.
Well, because
it was extremely light. It was like a tiny little poop. Like one of those little balls where you're like, oh, that's all I
got. It's a hard one where you're not sure if it's rabbit poo or food.
Wait, what?
You know, like where it's like a gerbil or whatever and its poo looks just like it's food.
Oh, I was thinking about my actual poo that I made. Two different topics.
Anyway, this episode came very close to not happening, this topic.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm just so glad that you gave in and that she was such a great sport.
See, difference between bad and good intuition.
Oh, I think that's a wrap.
Yeah.
We can stop patting ourselves on the back.
Yeah, how is this suddenly about us?
Maybe our Shandys are like, I got nothing out of this. Yeah. Can you stop?
I liked your Shandy more when they didn't compliment themselves so much.
Okay, we'll wrap.
Yeah,
we'll shut up.
Rap.
But I do think, you know, there's something to it.
Yeah,
something
I agree.
To trusting.
Trust.
Trusting.
Trust that gut. Trust that chimp instinct.
It's a chimp instinct.
We're all chimps.
When I think of, you know, she talked about the hell yes, the hell no. Okay, I swear we were going to wrap, but I have to talk about what these three things were. My two big hell no's in my life were, no, my big hell yes was going on The Bachelor, which changed my life.
Yeah.
And made me, in some ways, first I kind of hated myself, but then it turned into me loving myself.
Lots of doors.
And it also just a self-love that came from, honestly, a lot of it is the pandas and the shandies.
Would you say it was an amazing journey from The Bachelor?
It was an amazing journey.
Okay.
But then the next one is a hell no, which was leaving Germany
when
I was living over there and singing. There's
a lot of people in history who've had that same hell no. Very grateful for it.
Yeah, I just, from a logic standpoint, it made sense to stay in Germany and continue pursuing my singing career in Germany. That's where all the opportunities are. Like, it made no logical sense to leave Germany at that point in my career. And it was a hell no for me. And then my third big hell yes, these are decisions I made for myself, not based on logic. And the third one was hell yes to you.
Aww.
And they were great decisions. So, you know,
that's sweet. That's a good way to close.
Okay, we'll close there.
No,
I'll
but
shut
I'm not shutting you up. That was actually a good way to close.
Okay. If you enjoyed what you heard today, you know what we will ask of you, and that is to like, subscribe, hit the notification bell, follow us on Instagram and
TikTok,
leave us Apple and
Spotify
podcast ratings and reviews. Tell your friends.
Yeah, tell them.
Yes. And generally do all the things you would do to support a podcast you enjoy. Thank you so much for tuning in and joining us along for this 2024 ride, Shandys, and we'll see you next time on Dear Shandy. Bye-bye.